I was very much thrilled the other day. Many of you know Dick Hillis. What a marvelous ministry he's had there in the Orient. And he came up and he said, "You know, Miss Mears, I don't believe you know what a tremendous influence you've had on my life and all of my thinking." He said it was when Forest Home first opened 18 or 19 years ago, I made a pilgrimage up there to ask you what you thought was the secret of your success. And so I went up timidly and asked if I might have an interview. And I said, "Yes, surely." And he said, "Well, I want to ask you a little bit about your success and how to do things." And I said, "Well, you just come right in. I can tell you in just about a sentence." Well, he said he was so let down because he was just hoping there would be a divulgence of all sorts of ideas and plans. And so I said, "Let's step in the coffee shop and have a little cup of coffee and we'll talk about it." And then he said, "You sat down the most perfunctory sort of way and said, 'Dick, here is the whole secret. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.'" And he said, "All through these years, with all the problems that we've had and all the tremendous upheavals and difficulties, that verse keeps coming back to me that you told me 18 years ago. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Now there's the secret. In God's word, if you look up definitely, you'll find that the word "hand" is used about 2,000 times in Scripture. And most all the references are to the hand of God in its relationship to the individual. Christianity is that kind of a religion. It's a personal religion. Christ living in us, God putting his hand upon us, that intimate something that makes life possible. And I want you to go down today with great courage, because I know how many people feel, "Oh dear, I'm going to go down, and now I wonder how things are going to turn out." I want you to know that they're going to turn out because you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. All things. I remember as a young girl reading the Bible, and I said to Mother, "I don't like the Apostle Paul because he's so conceited. He's always talking about everything he can do, and I just don't like it." And Mother said, "Now wait, dear, read the rest of the verse. See, it isn't I can do all things at all. That would be preposterous. But through Christ which strengtheneth me." That's it. Have you had that grip your heart and mind this month or this week? Now let's just bow our heads and ask the Lord to just speak to us individually today, and let us just know this intimate relationship that's established between us and him, so that we can go down and do anything he wants us to do, anything. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that all that we have learned and all that we have heard would be of no value at all unless we knew that that could be done in us. That we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. Now, Lord, there's some people in this room today that think they can do some things, but they have not been gripped with the thought they can do all things. We do not know just exactly what will be demanded of them. There are going to be, by law of average, some men and women in this room that are going to be asked to do great and mighty things for God. Lord, we'd be like Moses of old. We'd run in fear. If we dreamed that thou art going to call us to go to the Pharaohs of this world and ask for the release of the people of God. But Father, many of us are going to be called to do some of these things. Some of us are going to be called to do very little things, but very difficult things. Lord, we know sometimes it's very heroic to be attacked by great things. And then it seems though these little things that pester our lives and undermine them are the things that we must be victor over. And we can do all things in that kind of a circumstance. In a home that's difficult, where there's not sympathy. In a church where men and women in leadership do not see eye to eye to the things that we think God wishes us to do. Let us be masters and victors, Lord. Let us hold our shoulders back and our heads high and go down from this mountain, saying in our lips and over again, "I can do all things, every obstacle can be removed, everything can be done through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Now we ask this today in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You know, the Lord says in Joshua 4:24, I brought you out with an almighty hand. God had his hand on the children of Israel from beginning to end. That marvelous hand of God touching us. Now, why does God want to hold us? Why does God want to put his hand upon us? I think it's for three reasons, and we'll take them up just very, very briefly this morning, because I want you to think out some of these things yourself. The first thing, he wants to put his hand upon us, really, to possess us. He wants us for his own. A young man takes the hand of a young woman, that he might have that wonderful young woman for his own. He doesn't want her to belong to anybody else. He wants to pour everything out upon her that's possible. That marvelous relationship of one hand being placed in another. And that's exactly what God wants of us. He wants to take us by the hand and put his hand upon us because he wants us. He wants you. He doesn't want your frailties. He doesn't want your talents. He wants you. You know, so many people are deceived by that. They think that they can give Christ all the things in their life that are a problem. I never shall forget, one time a very brilliant young man came up here, and it was at Christmas or New Year's faggot service, and he was walking around with his hands in his mackinaw, and I knew he was a young fellow who was getting his PhD at the university, and I knew that he had no experience of Christ at all, and I thought, well, isn't this strange? Jack is coming around, he doesn't look very buoyant. I just wonder what it's all about. So when he got up to the fire, put his hands in his pocket, he pulled out a package of cigarettes, says, well, I suppose I ought to give these cigarettes to God. I ran over to the fire and I grabbed them and I put them back in his hand. And I said, Jack, God has no use for cigarettes. Well, he was the most astonished looking fellow in the world. I said, you know what you're trying to do? You're trying to pawn off something on God. Now, God did not send his son down this world to save you from cigarettes. He wants to put his hand on you, Jack, and he wants to possess you. Are you ready this morning? And he said, no, Miss Mears, I'm not. I said, I didn't think so. Now, be very careful when you say, Lord, I'm going to give you the talent of my voice, or I'm going to give you the talent of speaking, or whatever it may be. God does not need your talents. He wants you. And he'll find talents there that you never dreamed of. Many years ago, there was a beautiful young girl, 16 years of age, Evangeline Booth, in London. And she went down to the East End of London, and she wanted to set up a work there for God. And this beautiful young girl just heard cursing and swearing, and nobody would believe her. And she was just living in the most terrible conditions, and her little heart was broken. And finally, one day, she went and put a sign out in front, dolls mended here, free. And pretty soon the children of East London came in with all of their dolls, and she began to mend them and fix them, and then their mothers and fathers came, and she started that great work there in London. Now God put his hand upon a young girl and put her in this terrific position, absolutely impossible to do anything alone, and yet you know the work that she did, the fame that she had, I suppose 1,000 men wanted her hand. Because she'd given her life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to possess her. Paul said, the Lord laid his hand on me. And you know the pressure of the hand of God. But it isn't, you don't resist it. It's so thrilling to know that you're right there in that hand. No man shall pluck you out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There you are, in the hand of God for possession. Now, the Lord wants to possess every single Christian leader that's here today. Because he possesses you, then he can do something in your life. If he doesn't possess you, it's no use. I always remember the story that I was hearing Dr. A.C. Dixon many years ago. And during the meeting, all of a sudden it started to rain. And it was on one of these metal roofs. And it was the most terrific racket you ever heard. And everybody, of course, was very nervous and very conscious of the fact it rained. And he stopped right in the middle of everything and lifted his voice. He said, I just want to tell you something that I'm reminded of today. He says, you know, I own, I suppose, about 25 umbrellas. I own gold-headed ones and ivory-headed ones. And he went on naming all these different kinds of umbrellas that people had given him. But he says, you know, I just realized tonight I don't possess one of them. And it won't do me a bit of good. Now, that's just exactly it. The Lord may own many of us. But if he doesn't possess us, we're no earthly good. The first thing that God wants to do is to put his hand upon us. Never resist the hand of God. Remember, he's asking you to enter into a relationship where you belong to him and he belongs to you. There's no other religion in the world where the hand of a God is put upon the life and heart of a man. You know, it was said of Burbank that any weed he touched would turn into a flower. And that's exactly what happens in the hand of a genius, isn't it? So the Lord took so many nobodies, like Peter and the rest of them, and made somebodies out of them. When he possesses you and owns you, you can be the most average and ordinary person, and he can make you a most extraordinary person. That's what he wants to do with you. He wants to own you so he can remodel you and remake you and infill you, all of these things he wishes. So God wants to own you not because he needs you, but because he wants to glorify himself in you. Isn't it marvelous that the Lord uses us? Do you ever think of that verse? Though we're unprofitable servants, how unprofitable we really are. The Lord can send the angels from heaven down to do things that he allows us to do. It's just the same as if we wanted to bring up to a forest home great loads of cement, as we often do. And we send a lot of fellows down with wheelbarrows to put it up the hill instead of that. No. These great trucks come up with their dump contrivances and the rest of it, bring it up in no time at all. Now, that's the way God could do. But he lets us run around our poor little old wheelbarrows and work. Isn't it amazing? He does it because he wants to make something of us, because he wants to just use us to glorify himself. Now, can you honestly say, Lord, you know I want you to put your hand on me. Put it heavily upon me, Lord. Let me know that I'm there. Restrict me, govern me, guide me. Whatever you wish me to do, just put your hand on me today. Now, you know, the strange part of it is that most people are trying to find God. That's the most frustrating experience in the world. A few experiences we saw last night. Anybody that's trying to find God is the most frustrated person. You can't find him. Can man by searching find out God? No. But he says he's near us, nearer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. He's right here. He's within us. He's right at our very side. To say that God is near puts him afar off. How tremendous it is. But men are trying to find God by all methods and means. Today, just stand and say, Lord, here am I. You remember when the Lord spoke to Moses and spoke to Isaiah, and they said, here am I, Lord. Most of us said, well, where am I? Instead of here am I. And so stand right today before you go and say, Lord, I don't want to go down from this hill until I know that you have a hold of me. I'd be afraid to go down. Put your hand on me today, Lord. You know how long I've been searching for you, searching for your power, searching for your blessing. And now, Lord, I just want to stand and be a recipient of all that you have. So then we find out that Christianity is God seeking man. Isn't that wonderful? He sought Adam and Eve in the garden. He sought Moses. He sought Isaiah. He sought Joshua out. He sought a Peter out. How marvelous Christ is. And that's what he's doing to us today. God said to Evangeline, come this way and do my work, and I will bless you. And she did. And all the great missionaries, how wonderful it is. Then the next thing that we find out, and I'm just skipping along over much that we have, because I feel that you have had so much, but I want you to have this great sense now of this personal possession. The second reason that God wants to put his hand on us is to guide us. Oh, how we need guidance. I suppose that question is asked me more than any other question in all of this world because I deal so much with you. And everybody wants to know how they can know that God is guiding. One of the things I know, when a young person comes and says, Ms. Mears, I want to know God's will for my life. Will you pray with me for that? I said, my child, I know this one thing. That's the one prayer I know God will answer immediately because he wants you to know his will much more than you want to know it. He puts his hand on us that he might direct us and guide us and protect us from going in all the devious ways. The marvelous protecting and leading hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us have felt the pressure of his hand as we've gone through dark places? You remember the story of Adoniram Judson when he landed in Calcutta in India as a missionary, and the British government forbade them to land to dock their boats. And he had to turn around and go out. And the anguish of his heart, Here he'd been sent off with all the acclaim of the people, and he was so sure that this was God's plan for his life, he laid it absolutely in God's hand, and here he was turning back. He couldn't endure it. He went down to the bowels of the ship in his own cabin and just laid himself prostrate on the floor and just wept before God, asking him why such a thing should happen. And then you remember they turned the boat up the Rangoon River and they led him off in Rangoon. There he was alone. A wife that was very delicate that finally died, as you remember there. All the terrible things that happened. But today, in fact, it was 1935, I went up the Rangoon River and I stopped at Rangoon. And as I looked out in the early morning, I remembered the trek of that man to Rangoon and wanted to know what it was all about. And there I saw, the first thing, the great Judson Square, the Judson Printing Press, the Judson Hospitals, the Judson Universities, the Judson Training Schools. Isn't it amazing? God took a man and frustrated his plans, he thought, completely and landed him in the right place. He probably never would have done that in India. God had his hand on Adoniram Judson. And when we know that God has his hands on us to lead us, these frustrating experiences we can't understand, we say, Lord, it seemed as if it was right. I tried to do everything you wanted me to do, and now I'm up to this point, and the door is closed. What shall I do? The Lord wants to put his hand upon you to lead you and guide you. Ask him to press your hand and let you know his presence. And then no matter what the disappointments are, you'll know definitely it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are all the reformatories of the world filled? It's because young people are not guided. That's the reason. Why are you and I of no value at all? Because we haven't had guidance from God. We've dissipated our efforts in so many different ways. Even those of us who are Christians, we spend our time on things that amount to absolutely nothing. God wants to take our lives and guide us. Take a young man like a Hudson Taylor, only in his early 20s. And the Lord said, Hudson, I'm going over to China to bear my message in China. Would you like to go with me? And you remember how he started out on this great faith missionary, founded the China Inland Mission, where thousands of missionaries have gone through the years to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I referred the other night to the wonderful Livingston. And there in the heart of that dark continent with no trek laid out, no roads laid out, and yet the Lord led that man along in such a marvelous way that his life could be just fruitful because he was where God wished him to be. You have guidance in all kinds of things. Some of you are here, you wonder about business. You wonder about your home. You wonder about some of your marital relations. You wonder about the persons you're going to marry. You're wondering about your careers. Everything. God is interested in the leading. He wants to put his hand on us that he might lead us. Will you not put your hand out so he can take you? Some of us are like little children. We're rebellious. You know, Moody tells that wonderful story, and I know you've all heard it, but it's so precious and sweet. His little four-year-old girl, you remember, got a little white muff and a little fur for Christmas. And so she wanted to go out walking. And it was that time in Chicago when the streets were very slippery and the little fine snow on the top. And so as she went out, she said, darling, let Daddy take over. Oh, no, she wanted to put her hands in her little muff. So she trudged along very few steps. And all of a sudden, her little feet went out from under and she fell down and began to cry. And then he picked her up and brushed her off. And he says, now let me take over your hand here. She says, no, I'll take over yours, Daddy. So your little hand took a hold of his thumb, and they walked along, and pretty soon it was too great, and out her feet went, and down she went again. She got up with more tears than ever. And then she said, Daddy, you take my hand. So he said, I put that little tiny hand in mine, and we walked along, and a dozen times in that trip, her little feet went way out from under her, but she never went down. Isn't that thrilling? Now that's what God wants you to do. He doesn't promise you a life always without any problems or without any falling. But remember, you'll never be utterly cast down. He'll always guide you. Be sure that you're not just taking hold of the hand of the Lord and say, Lord, I want to just follow you. But you remember today that you're putting your tiny hand into the great hand. And remember, there's a scar in that hand. And he'll guide you along in the place he wishes you to go. That's the second reason he wants to touch your hand. Dan Crawford tells of his experience. You remember he went into Africa, stayed for 22 years without ever coming out. He said he thought black, he spoke black, everything, But he said, I went all through Africa with my hand in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. How marvelous is this pioneering experience? Now, some of you are going back to your churches to have real pioneering experiences. You don't dare go alone because you'd make so many mistakes. But the Lord will take your hand. And in the dark moments, you will feel the pressure of his hand and the wonderful consciousness of the footfalls in the nighttime as he walks along the way. Now the third thing, just very quickly, he puts his hand on us to hold us. He wants to keep us. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, the only wise God, our Father, be honor and glory, dominion and power, now and forever. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling. He wants your life to be a life of victory. As Paul says, he always causes us to triumph in Christ. He wants to hold you. Now, don't you go down with a feeling that you have to hold on to God. It's the most dangerous thing in the world. That's not what it is. It's God holding on to you. You know, that's what most Christians never can get into, the experience that Mrs. Wilcox spoke of this morning. That absolute abandon to God where he lives in you. That wonderful word that Paul says, it isn't I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. He's the one that holds you. You will not be utterly cast down. Your seeming fallings will only give you a sense of your absolute dependence upon God. He will hold me fast. Definitely. Nothing shall ever pluck you out of the Father's hand. You know, when Peter walked on the water, he went along very well until he looked down at the water. And then he began to sink. And what does it say? The Lord put his hand out and touched him, lifted him up. Isn't that wonderful? Now you know you're going to start off like Peter. You're sort of, Lord, I can just do anything now. And so you kind of, you know, you're just really thinking the hand in the name of the Lord. And you go walking along and all of a sudden, your feet go out from under you. Now what are you going to do? Just scramble and try to get back to the boat? No. Just look to the Lord and know that he's right there. He'll put his hand on you and lift you up. And you go walking along. You only walk on the water as long as the Lord is there to hold you. Now, I speak from a vast experience, really. Just in Hollywood, I've been 27 years, almost 28 years, in one of the most difficult fields in the world. And the Lord has just given me this great confidence. I've lived on this experience that I've been divulging to you this morning. Knowing that the Lord took me years ago because he wanted me, and I in my youth gave myself completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he began to lead me. I'll never forget the fight that I had to come to Hollywood. I was in Minneapolis. I was a senior advisor in one of the great high schools. I had a wonderful class. I was teaching in the Northwestern Bible School and at night and so on. And I had a great ministry, really, for a young woman. But the Lord took me way out here in Hollywood and put me in this place, and I just couldn't understand. I was the most frustrated person in the world, really. So for 6 months, I kept turning down the offer, and I just didn't think it was so, what I should do. I never forget one day, I was walking down Hollywood Boulevard. It was just high noon, and I went by Pig and Whistle. And I thought, I'll go and have a cup of coffee and just think this thing over. That's all I was thinking about and wondering what to do. So I walked up, and as I did, great doors opened before me. I'd never seen an electric high door before. And I went in, I was a science teacher, so I knew it was no hocus pocus. I knew it was all fixed up all right. So I went inside and sat down, and I said, Lord, whatever that was, I want. Now, I just don't want to put my hand in the door. I don't know where to go. It would be a terrible mistake. Just because I've been a success there in Minnesota to come out in Hollywood, it may be just a terrible thing. I want to be sure that this is your place for me. And I'm not going to push the door, and I'm not going to allow anybody else to. And as I walk along, Lord, you promise you guide me. Now, you let the door swing or not. The next day, I had luncheon with Dr. McLennan, and the next thing I knew, I was saying to him, if I came to Hollywood, I would do so-and-so. And I had the whole plan in my mind, and there it was. And I've been there ever since. And I've had that consciousness all through these years that that's where God wished me to be. It's a marvelous confidence. Are you where God wishes you to be? So I knew him as a guide. Then I had to depend on him to hold me up. I've commanded the Lord that he would make possible my ministry there. As I go in before that great college department, Sunday after Sunday, year in and year out, I always say, Lord, As long as you put me here, you must give me the power of ministry. You must make me attractive to those college young men and women. You must just absolutely fill me with your spirit. I demand that. I will not go alone. I cannot go alone. And the Lord has held me constantly. I can just witness today after 28 years there, it hasn't been once that the Lord has ever let me down. Not once. He's held me up. It hasn't been my strength, sure enough. But it has been that marvelous sense of the power of God in our life because His hand is upon us. You remember Dr. Moon, when he was stricken blind, he cried to God and wanted to know what could be done. He said, Lord, will you not use my affliction? And he's the one who invented the writing for the blind. Think how many hundreds of thousands of eyes that have been darkened have been able to see through the fingers because he did it. He'll hold you in all kinds of positions, all kinds of extremities. He will never, never let you down. You remember the story of Napoleon when he felt there was a little bit of unrest in among his officers in his army. One day he stood in his chapel and called each one of the men separately. They walked down the aisles alone, looked him in the eye, grasped his hand. He looked at them without saying a word, and they walked out. Something happened. Now that's what I mean. Take God by the hand. Look him in the eye. Don't be afraid. And let him speak to you and your troubled heart. And he will hold you fast. Many years ago, Desdy Gordon, the man who writes all these wonderful quiet talks on power and prayer and the Holy Spirit and all those that series of books, was at our church holding some meetings just before Easter. And we met at 7 o'clock in the morning. The church would be filled, 7 till 8. And then men went off to their business and women back to their household. And I always remember him standing there, a little bit of a fellow he was, very thin. He had this overcoat because it was cold and it just kind of hang on like a gunny sack on a pump handle. And there he stood. And he'd take the Word of God. And you know, he'd stand like this to hold the Word of God. And every boy in our college department, girl, got up and held the Word of God like that. They thought there was some magic. And he'd bring it up. And he'd just hold the Word of God. And I'll never forget the last day we were there. He said, we've had a wonderful time together. And now we're going to go our several ways. But we want the Lord, who has been here with us, to really be our guide, our counselor, our upholder. And so he said, I wonder if every one of you will bow your heads. And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads as I tell this story. I wonder if every one of you will bow your heads this morning. And would you take your hand and put it in the hands of the Lord Jesus? Would you do that? Then would you take your index finger and feel a scar in that hand? Would you feel that scar? Then would you clasp Christ's hand and allow Him to clasp yours? Has He done that? He said. Are you sure now? He has a hold of you. You have a hold of Him. Well, let's just walk out this morning. Not talking to anybody else, but just with a consciousness that the hand of the Lord is upon us. That we have our hand in His. And all will be well. All power is given unto me, the Lord said. He wants to give it to us, His children. Now, I can't think of a more wonderful way to leave this conference at Forest Home. All these other things have been wonderful, but like on the Mount of Transfiguration, you remember it said, they all disappeared in that marvelous time they had together, and there was no one left save Jesus only. Now, that's the only thing that's powerful at this conference. So with His hand in yours, and yours in His, and remember it's nail scarred, because He wanted to purchase for you power, and blessing, and life itself, will you just be dismissed from this wonderful conference at Forest Home? God bless you, everyone. Others may leave you, disappoint you, but Jesus never. Thank you, Lord, for this high and holy privilege. We can't believe it. We can't understand it. We never can comprehend it. How You would take a hold of our hand and be interested in us and give us all that we need and make possible all the dreams of our life. Hold us up so that we do not have to go down from this conference fearing that we shall be defeated and undone. But knowing thy wonderful presence, we'll never know what loneliness is. We'll never know what it is to be cast down, because thou wilt hold us by the hand. Thank you, Lord, for this. And now let's just go back to our churches with Christ holding onto our hand. It doesn't make much difference how you hold onto him, does it? But his holding onto us. And God bless you, everyone.